Had John's son, Mike, who had a touching tribute on Facebook yesterday, is actor, producer, and he authored a really successful book called The Blueprint for Success Stories. Also, Malik Beasley is the grandson of John Beasley, who Malik has played numerous teams in the NBA and actually came back. This is pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Him and Justin Patton did a basketball camp.
Nice.
Out at OSA, and people couldn't figure out, well, I get Justin Patton, but why Malik Beasley?
Yeah.
The connection to here. Terry writes in, he goes, very saddened by the news of the passing of John Beasley. I actually worked with him on the railroad at Union Pacific.
Yes, UP. Mm-hmm.
So that had to be before he got into acting.
Yep.
That's amazing. Amazing career, and he did not take up acting until he was 40 years old. So there's a lot of stories that are being shared, and a lot of people that had fond memories of a really, really good man that was really, really good in this city. All right, Brandon Vogel is going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes. So Nebraska baseball season is over. They're having exit meetings. Yesterday, there were two pitchers that you already knew were in the transfer portal. Corbin Hawkins is retiring, which is unfortunate because he had a really, really good year.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get on with his life, and it stings a little bit because he had eligibility, and I mean he was money this year.
Still had 2 years of eligibility,
and then,
too.
And then Jake Buns is transferring. He's got 1 year of eligibility left. It's hard to believe that he still has eligibility.
Right.
Jake's been at Nebraska forever. He had the wonderful 21 season, which, man, there was so much about that year that they haven't been able to recapture. The way the roster was built, the success they had, granted all-conference schedule, but that was a really, really good baseball team regardless. And then Jake got injured last year, didn't pitch. And then this year, I don't know that they ever figured out a role for him.
Right.
And so he's got a year of eligibility. I'm sure he wants to play in the NCAA tournament, wants to go somewhere where he can, you know, experience something different. He always wanted to play for Nebraska. So those guys are in the portal. I would imagine there's probably one or two more that will join the portal. I mean, we've seen that. It's just Will, I think, has gradually gotten used to how to play the portal game when it'll taketh away.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to bring in some guys. And recruiting is going to be key in developing pitchers of guys that are currently on the roster.
Yeah.
Because we said Kaminska. I'm hearing that Kaminska has increased his value.
Mm-hmm.
That he may be a guy that could be drafted and gone.
Yes.
So you lose Matthews and Anderson and possibly Olsen and Kaminska, so you'd have to find some starters. But you're going to have to get guys that are freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, to have Max and Bryce-type years where they're over their skis and you didn't expect it.
Yeah.
But as I think about this past season in Nebraska baseball, is it fair to say, and this is a little homerism in me because I think he's one of the best coaches I've ever been around, that as we get further and further away, and we're over 20 years ago that Dave Van Horn was the baseball coach at Nebraska, that his stature grows even bigger because of what he was able to do? When you think about and what he has allowed Mike Anderson, Darren Erstad, and Will Bolt to do. So John Sanders was the baseball coach at Nebraska from 78 to 97. They went to the NCAA tournament during that stretch three times. Dave Van Horn is hired in 98. Now remember, he was hired by Bill Byrne late because Sanders got fired in December.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're scrambling because you got to do something in January.
Right.
The season is coming. And he went to Louisiana, and he got this little man named Dave Van Horn, who was cocky and had an edge, and told me in Vincenzo's restaurant in January of 1998, we're going to go to the College World Series. And I went, no kidding, at Nebraska? Because I was doing the games, and we that was our first opportunity to really get to know him. He goes, you know, we're going to the College World Series. And I did say to him, I said, at Nebraska? Because I had just started doing the game, so I'd gotten the back end of John Sanders, and I'm like, well, you play at Buck Belcher. My God, who are you? But, you know, 98, they were 24-20. 99, we go to Columbus, get beat out in a regional. That's Ken Harvey's monster year. 2000, hello, Big 12. Nebraska baseball has arrived. Go up to Minneapolis. You know, Comine gets drilled. And then you go out to the Super at Sunken Diamond and losing Game 3 where you won the Friday night game. It's a famous picture of the Cardinal are dogpiling and Van Horn's walking off the field that they blew up and they put in the clubhouse at Buck Belcher. So every time you walked in there as a player, you walked by it. Then you know what happened the following year. They went to the College World Series. Then you know what happened the following year. They went to the College World Series at a place that between 78 and 97 had gone to the NCAA tournament three times. Now, they've gone back to the College World Series since. Mike Anderson benefited a lot from Dave.
Absolutely.
In 05. And that was a really, really good team in 05.
Yes, it was.
Mike Anderson did something Dave couldn't do. He won a game in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have had hit or miss from Mike getting fired to Darren and NCAA trips to now Will in his time going to the NCAA tournament one time. Thinking about, because we always try and define what a good season is and what Nebraska baseball should be, and they should be better than they were this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make excuses. But the more I think about it, what Dave Van Horn was able to do at Nebraska with baseball, Big 12, Big 10, Big 8, whatever, is quite frankly unbelievable. And in the hiring and firing of coaches at Nebraska, we've never been able to find the next, regardless of sport, Dave Van Horn.
Yep. No, and it's there's a lot to unpack from that, because when I think of what Dave Van Horn did, and I had friends that were on those carryovers from the Sanders era into Dave Van Horn. I was told how he did not waste any time. If he liked what he saw in you, you had a future on that roster. If he didn't, he didn't mince words. This isn't for you. You know, and I know we've kind of discussed a little bit of that with what's going on in Colorado. This was a different time, and this is a roster where you don't have that many options of wiggle room or anything. I mean, like, you're cutting it down to what you feel you can build a template on and compete. Dave Van Horn, this is the one thing that I don't think gets talked about enough when it comes to Dave Van Horn in this whole process. As you mentioned, that first year is being able to identify exactly what he needed to build that foundation so you could continue to add on top of that, stack successful seasons after successful seasons where everything just led to that culmination into a College World Series appearance, and then you back it up again. And you're absolutely right. Mike Anderson, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, I would never look at him and say, boy, that guy was able to build a monster in 05. There was a lot of carryover from the way that they recruited to Mike Anderson being on that staff with Rob Childress that really aided them along, and it came to that 2005 season. I don't want to dismiss it. You're right. He won a game in the CWS, okay? But this was all in the works because of Dave Van Horn. The other thing that Dave Van Horn did that was very smart and, quite frankly, puzzling that it was not done before is he knew exactly where to recruit. That was the thing. You got from talent-rich states like Texas when it comes to baseball, but he also, all of the big names in the state of Nebraska, they weren't turning Nebraska down. They were still getting offers from Nebraska. Where in the Sanders era, there wasn't a lot of heavy lifting in the state of Nebraska. A guy here or there, but not a lot. So not only were you getting some really good talent in the South, but you were making sure anybody who was worth their salt in the state of Nebraska knew that you were a priority with Dave Van Horn. So you had a little bit of sort of this, kind of like what we saw in that 2021 team, and, you know, ironically, Will Bolt was on Dave Van Horn's team. You had a little bit of that piss and vinegar with those teams. They were talented, but those dudes were edgy, and they knew that the conference went through Texas. They made it their job to completely disrupt the way Big 12 baseball was being won. They took that upon themselves, and that reflected clearly off Dave Van Horn's overall personality. You knew it, and you were around him. He was cocky. He was, I would go beyond confident. He was cocky, but he knew exactly what he wanted, and he knew how to pull it off when it came to recruiting, and then when it came to in-game decisions. Mm-hmm. There was very few times that you could ever look at a button that Dave Van Horn pushed with those teams and said, what the hell is he doing? And if you did for a moment, you'd see it play out like, oh.
Yeah, I just think when you have a season like this and that ballpark, granted, it's the Salt Dogs, but there's a lot of like expectations. I mean, he's been gone. 2002 was his last year.
Yep.
So, you know, there were 21 years from the last time that he was in the dugout. When his last game was in Omaha at the College World Series before he went to Arkansas. I think about, man, is there any other coach, Osborne probably, where they've just, you're chasing the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Like the expectations of what they did because they were special in their craft.
Yes.
you've given the advantages to the person that took over and then took over and then took over. Mm-hmm. But those expectations, for the most part, have always been there. And then I was thinking yesterday, man, you step back and you go, God, what he was able to do is really unbelievable, mm-hmm. considering the history of Nebraska baseball.
And then, given the conference they were in.
And then there's the other part of Nebraska athletics has never been able to find the next Dave Van Horn.
Yeah.
Somebody who really good just needed a shot.
Yep.
And they used this shot to show everybody how good a coach they were.
Mm-hmm.
That always walked around with a chip on their shoulder, identified who you had to knock off to get there, and then had a plan to do it and was able to achieve it in a short amount of time.
And those guys, they exist all over college baseball. You know, you look at mid-major coaches, you look at some of those other schools outside of the power conferences that have the similar identity when it comes to understanding what they need to build a winner. And they have the ability to pull that off because they know how to connect with baseball players. They know how to identify the talent. They know how to teach the game. That's the rare thing. Some guys are really good recruiters, but they just don't have the ability to develop. Some guys have the ability to develop, but they're identifying the actual talent is not quite sharp. That's the one thing that Dave Van Horn and that coaching staff as a whole, what Dave Van Horn's weaknesses might have been when it came to recruiting, you had a pretty strong staff that made up for that. That's where I always kind of, again, going back to Mike Anderson, tell me when Rob Childress was no longer on the coaching staff, how that thing started to gradually decline. There's a reason for that, because they worked so well together. Just like when Dave Van Horn was the head coach, are you doing all that without a Rob Childress? Pitching success, maybe not as much. They all work so well together. But that's the other thing. Dave Van Horn knew how to staff his actual staff as well.
Well, it helped that Rob was working for him in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
that he could bring him with him at the time.
And Rob is another guy who I think you talk about guys that just needed a shot. Texas A&M people might have something different to say, but the amount of times that A&M was in the College World Series just because they weren't winning the whole damn thing or were in a super regional or hosting regionals. Rob Childress did a lot of good things, too. There were two guys right there that worked so well together, too. And yeah, you can look at what has changed, obviously, going through the different coaches, but also the conference. It's a lot maybe more difficult. We've talked about this. This isn't telling you anything new. How it is to recruit to a Nebraska team that's in the Big 12 compared to recruiting to a Nebraska team that's in the Big 10. It's very different. But looking back at the standard and at least the ability to show, hey, you can still win at this place. You can be able to reach the highest of accomplishments at this place. You just got to have the right guy that's going to push all the buttons. And Dave Van Horn, from his staff to his recruiting to his development across the board, I think you're probably chasing a ghost if you think that you are going to find something either that good or better. And that's no disrespect. You know it as well as I do. Like, we have a lot of respect for Will Bolton. I hope he is able to get this thing going on a consistent basis. And I think Will has the chops to do it. But to think like you need the next Dave Van Horn, if that's what you're holding Nebraska baseball standard to, you might find yourself a bit disappointed there.
Still amazing. 98. He hadn't even been on the job 2 months. The portal didn't exist.
Right.
And he came in and got that team to 24-20.
Mm-hmm.
He admits this, for the first series, there were a couple of guys he didn't know exactly what their names were. He got them confused because he hadn't been around them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
and he got hired less than 2 months. He's coaching his first game at Nebraska, and they went 24-20 that season.
Think of the quick turnaround, though. When he gets hired, you have 3-ish weeks before your first series. Like, the amount of time that he had to spend with his new roster and trying to, again, build that into what he thought could at least give him a good foundation, you probably had, as far as being with the guys coming back from winter break, you probably had, I wouldn't even say a full month, maybe 3 weeks. And then you're playing baseball together.
Well, and you also had some guys leave because they were, you know, committed to Big Red. And, you know, he got fired in December. School is out a couple of weeks later. And, yeah, they had to piece together a roster. But what he did, considering the history of Nebraska baseball in that short amount of stretch, and that is still 21 years later, that's the standard.
Yep.
Crazy. All right. Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity is going to join us to close out a Wednesday edition, the final day of May. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.